And good morning. I'm joined by Jim Furno. He's the city manager of the city of Burlington. He's joining me. And what a difference a month makes between, we were just talking about that, plans that were made a month ago have changed, but they've changed for me, they've changed for you, they've changed for everybody pretty much around the world. Some places, more the change has been more radical than other places, but COVID-19, yes, I was on the RAGBRAI website yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on there and I had, they've got frequently asked questions, their FAQ, F-A-Q. One of the first posts, and it's basically, it's a whole thread of posts from people that have done RAGBRAI or getting ready to do it or whatever that are signed up on the RAGBRAI, on the RAGBRAI forum. And first one I saw said, by the time July gets here, you won't even remember the words COVID-19. And it'll be all, everything will be in our rearview mirror. The next post, is your name Jesus Christ? I mean, this is a situation, it's tough for the city, it's tough for anybody who's at work, it's tough for any business, obviously, it's tough for anybody who's trying to plan anything. There's no events that I can plan or nothing I can be absolutely certain. I can only be certain of the things that are canceled, Jim. I've got an event that I have. The last time I had a Memorial Day weekend off was 1979.
You have it this year.
I know. but not by my choice.
and that's not the only event that
every event has been affected. Yes,
it's, I mean, for that event, I'm not really sure exactly what had happened with that, but I mean, we have the bridge run that happens second week of May, and I don't think that we've officially canceled yet, but we also, it doesn't fall within any of the time frames for needing to cancel. But it's hard to get registrations for things when people have so much uncertainty.
Well, I think the registration's the issue. I know that the number one concern and the number one reason or the number one problem with the criterion was fundraising, because it's almost impossible to do fundraising. And I had Tony Martinez, who's one of the promoters of the criterion and the events for that weekend, on the air with me on Monday, and he said, you know, I want to just give you an alert on RAGBRAI. One of the problems you're going to face with RAGBRAI is now all of these, they haven't released the pass-through towns on this for the route. And one of the reasons why they haven't is because they don't want to, a lot of these towns, and well, at least that was the speculation, a lot of the towns, I think actually maybe they have released the pass-through towns, but all those towns have to, they do fundraising as well. All of them have to do fundraising. The towns that are the overnight towns have to do fundraising to try to get things done.
Yeah.
All of the, they've got to do planning, all of those other things that go into it. And there's a great concern about people coming in from and transportation problems too, because people come from all over the world. I don't think we're going to see all over the world this year, but I don't know. See, that's the thing. It's asking an impossible question with no answer. It's no plans can be made for certain, can they?
No, not really. And you start thinking about businesses that help to fund events like this. Everyone is going through. If you're after 2 weeks of shutdown, and you have another 4 weeks that you're looking at, very likely not being in operation or a significant downturn in what your operations are, and not sure what it looks like after that. It's hard to put money into advertising something.
How do you project? How do you make a budget? If you're a small business, how do you? I guess you have to basically do the Dave Ramsey thing, plan for the worst and hope for the best.
Yeah, well, for a lot of businesses that are shut down, you can look at our downtown. There is a lot less economic activity going on in our downtown area.
And that means a whole lot less sales tax revenue coming in as well, doesn't it?
It does, and you know, I have concerns about what happens for the downtown community just in general. You're gonna, you when you go 6 weeks with doors not open, I don't know how many of them are unable to open their doors at the end. I know there's a lot of different benefits that are out there to, for businesses to take advantage of, but not all of them qualify for them. The chamber is working on a big piece of this. In fact, they're doing a conference call right now to work through their community with what are some of those funding sources that are available for them to take advantage
of. Two things that I am aware of, and that is the downtown restaurants, and a number of them, because we've been trying to support the restaurants throughout the city. I'll just say the name. We were at La Tavola. La Tavola seemed to be doing a brisk pickup business.
Yeah.
When we were there, we bought stuff from there. I think we went to Kohlhaas 337. We went there the week before, we didn't go there, but we picked food up from there. But some other places are also doing, those that are doing there, marketing are doing pretty well, actually.
There are a few that are doing very well. I'm afraid that there's a few that are not.
I'm sure there are a few. And I know that one of the other challenges, you were talking about the downtown, I know some of the clothing stores are also doing, I know, are doing fairly well online by basically doing and really ramping up their online profile, and I think particularly with Amazon sort of in sort of hiatus right now, I think that's maybe that's a possibility too. I guess the question is there for every time you have we've never had a situation like this. The last time there was a situation like this was 1918. I don't know what you how do you plan? And things have changed a little bit since 1918 in terms of the way the marketplace works.
I don't know what unemployment goes to, but I've seen estimates. Well, on the high end, I've seen 30%. I don't think it will likely go to that. I've seen 20%, though, as a fairly potential national unemployment level to hit at. There's unemployment benefits that are there. There's other funds that are going to be going out, but they don't completely replace what was there. You're right. We've never had an event like this. This is a sharp, sharp downturn, and a big piece of it on the backside will pick up, but it will not just pick back up to where it was before.
It's
going to be at a new level, and it's going to be lower economically than
It'll be a slow, gradual, I guess, a slow recovery. I do predict. For whatever I can say, my own prediction is that we will have a complete recovery, and a lot of eventually we'll have a very slow start, though. I see a very slow start to really coming back because there will be a reluctance. Travel will be slow to recover. A lot of the cruise lines are going to be slow to recover. A lot of the businesses that have been sort of shuttered are going to be slow to get people to come back. A lot of people just being, once the longer you stay in a shuttered situation, the more you want or the more difficult it is to get out and trust or to be comfortable knowing that it's safe and it's okay to be out there. I think that's part. Psychologically, it's almost as difficult as it is physically, and that's really the big question here. We don't know how that's going to impact. I guess from a standpoint of the city, I guess obviously the number one element is obviously our city revenue is going to be down. Sales tax, I said, was going to be down. Do you see that? Do you see having to modify your budget because of this situation?
I do. Next year's budget is not going to be what we would otherwise have had. Now, at the same time, who's going to cut what? I don't think that there's a lot of desire to see things cut. I made a couple of recommendations for projects that I thought were ripe to be cut because they're not necessities. The council's still on board with moving forward with them because they are some neat projects. They're the ones, though, that I think make the most sense to eliminate. But we're so early in this, I think it's hard for people to see.
We don't know we know where this began. We just don't know the end.
No, but I mean, a lot of how our funds work are they're backloaded. The funds that are collected, for example, from local option sales tax this month, we won't receive for 3 months from now. And even then, the state uses a smoothing, and so we don't necessarily see what our true number is until more like 6 months later.
Smoothing. What do you mean by smoothing?
So the state with local option sales tax, they put out at the beginning of the year a projection for what they're going to give every month, and they turn it out. And absent having a major change occur to their collections, they don't adjust that formula. Well, so as we're getting towards the end of this fiscal year, we have 5 months of collections that will still be remitted to us, but they don't adjust those until they see something is changing the dynamics. Well, they don't see the numbers from March. I mean, March is the first month that's impacted by it. Well, we get March collection in May. March, they don't know what those numbers are to really do a true up until May, and now you've got 1 month left in the calendar year to do an alteration. Well, there's very precious little that's done at that point. It doesn't happen until the following year's projected amounts. They do a true up at in November from the previous year. Usually they withhold about 5% of local option sales tax. For us, that's $200,000. That's kind of what they anticipate being the cushion in case something happens towards the end of the year so that they don't run a deficit where they've paid out more than what they can collect. We had this happen back in 2013-ish where that instead of getting $200,000, we got zero. And that will very likely be the case this coming year. This last year, we got, instead of the $200,000, we had close to $400,000 this last November. So we're running well ahead. I anticipate that $200,000 being gone. And now, so from that, we use about $100,000 of that to support general fund operations. Well, that's $100,000 off the top that's gone. Hotel motel tax, if you think we normally collect about $900,000 a year, this year it's more likely to be $700,000.
You know, you brought up the from the city standpoint, and that is that you operate a lot like a small business. I mean, I'm not going to say, but the comparison is there in the fact that you operate on a cash flow business based on what you can project, based on what you think is going to be a likely revenue, the revenue sources that are going to be there. The things that are going to be stabilized or relatively stable or have been stable, and they also the different funding sources that you have. A small business is operating based on it. They're a cash flow business too, only they're the much smaller scale, but they're dealing with a situation much as you are, and that is you don't have an end date, and you don't have a predictable resumption of funding at a normal level, do you?
Well, we're like a small business, but we're not.
You're a big business that you just have.
several of our funding streams are still going to be fairly consistent. Our property taxes, now I do anticipate that we probably will have a little bit less collections this year than what we have in the past, but it's not going to be a 20% drop.
Right.
I do expect that this does have an impact on it, but not that kind of thing. We don't go from 100% of revenue to nothing overnight like a small business.
No, that's true. You don't. You have some things that you can rely on.
So we don't have the same type of dynamics that a small business does for that. But we can't act like we're immune to an economic cycle. And
what about something like Flint Hills? What about a place like Flint Hills? How does that impact?
Well, they're open right now, but now social distancing, how do you do a shotgun start? You can't do a shotgun start.
Only if you can do an individual cart.
So or
walk,
and
which is even better for you.
Yeah, it's better for you. But you've changed the dynamics of how the course can be used. You're going to have folks who will continue to use it exactly as they have in the past, but you have others that the type of events and things that they did.
No, I know.
Are going to struggle. Who participates? You got a lot of businesses that will put a corporate team to a tournament. How are those impacted when you've got small businesses that don't have the funds available to do things like that?
You're asking questions that have no answers.
But to think that we're not going to have an economic impact that lowers revenues there, that lowers revenues potentially out at the Recplex this season. I don't see how we don't have.
I would agree. I don't see any way that those are at least unless something dramatic happens in terms of having this virus, a dramatic change and shift in the way that the virus is acting and in terms of the impact that it has. Until that changes, everything else is going to be also basically following along, won't it?
Yeah, and you think about what we're not talking just this next 4 weeks, and hopefully folks are thinking about the dynamics of large events. Large events are going to look through waves of what happens with the coronavirus. There's a very significant likelihood you have another wave of this come through in the fall. And it may not be the same magnitude. It may not operate the same. We may not adjust the same. But it will have an impact psychologically, as you're saying. And it also will have an impact on large group events. So I don't know what that dynamic looks like in the fall for stuff. But to think that there won't be a potential impact on revenues for us with some of those things then is we're missing the boat.
To put it in a blunt way, or to use an expression, people are going to be gun shy. They're going to be gun shy to simply respond and to believe that things are okay, even when they seemingly are.
Yeah.
Quote unquote okay. We're going to take a break. We've got Jim Furno with us. Our phone lines are open at 754-1490. It's 9:27. We'll be back right after the news.
This is The Herd with Colin Cowherd.
I do not believe we're going to have NFL OTAs. Those are in late May. My opinion has always been best case scenario is July. At this point, I do think we'll have an NFL season. If you're a new coach with a new system, with a young quarterback, and you can't meet, what a massive disadvantage.
Colin Cowherd.
Weekdays 11 to 2 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
Waiting to be welcomed into a loving home. There's a greater need to place X-racing greyhounds into permanent homes than at any point in recent history as a result of greyhound racetrack closings across the country. April is National Adopt-a-Greyhound Month and the perfect time to adopt a gentle companion into your home. Thousands of greyhounds are being cared for by adoption groups now. Please help ensure that all these wonderful dogs find homes by visiting thegreyhoundproject.org for information on adoption in your area.
We know you hate this ad. You say it's bad. It makes you sad. But as we assault your ears, we also help to ease your fears. No red wine. Your shirt is fine. No ketchup stains. No city grime. Oh, yes, okay, all right, now finally this song will end. But when you stain, Tide's your best friend.
Get stains out of your clothes and out of your head with 10 times the cleaning power of Tide. If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide.
Of the two certainties in life, let's focus on taxes for a moment. Our family-owned tax business has succeeded by giving families just like yours the best refunds plus the lowest filing fees. Families have been trusting us not for 2 or 3 years, but 2 or 3 generations. Henry Tax and Accounting charges you by the forms required, which means you only pay for what you need, unlike the national preparers. Get the best refund. Henry Tax and Accounting in fabulous Carmen, Illinois. Find us on Facebook. We'll fill your pockets, not stretch them.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
News brought to you by Kelly O'Shea's Pub and Grill, featuring a full menu including seafood, steaks, chops, pub sandwiches, whole catfish, and appetizers, as well as nightly specials. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
And now a look at today's headlines in the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. Iowa public health officials say coronavirus cases have increased by 73 to a total statewide of 497 due to surging numbers in populous counties in central and eastern Iowa. One additional death was reported, a Muscatine County resident between the ages of 41 and 60. Seven people in total in Iowa have died. The virus is now present in 57 of Iowa's 99 counties. The case counts have been growing fastest in Linn County in eastern Iowa, where an additional 19 cases were reported Tuesday for a total of 90. Heritage Specialty Care, a nursing home that has more than 100 residents in Cedar Rapids, confirmed Tuesday that is the facility where the virus has infected residents and employees. Ford announced Monday that it has made plans to produce as many as 50,000 simple ventilators for coronavirus patients within 100 days and plans to continue production after that. The automotive company said it will make ventilators at one of its components plants in Michigan. A Ford spokesman told CNN that the factory will be staffed by 500 United Auto Workers Union members who have volunteered to work on the project. The ventilator is currently being made by Florida-based company Arion Corporation and has been licensed by GE Healthcare. Ford has been working with GE Healthcare to help it increase its ventilator output. Ford's plant will produce the ventilators around the clock and plans to make 7,200 of the devices per week. Iowa Secretary of State Paul Pate says the state will mail absentee ballot request forms to every active registered voter in the state for voting in the June 2nd primary. Pate released a recorded message about the decision.
The June 2nd primary election will go on as scheduled because it's important for Iowans to make their voices heard by voting, and the safest way to vote will be by mail.
Pate last week announced that he was using emergency authority to add 11 more days to the early voting period for the June primary, and he encouraged Iowans to use the vote-by-mail option to reduce the spread of COVID-19. Iowans may request absentee ballots for the June primary through May 22nd. County auditors begin mailing ballots on April 23rd. And those are today's headlines in the KBUR Newsroom. I'm Colin Letty.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster.
I want every American to be prepared for the hard days that lie ahead.
President Trump's coronavirus response team projects 100,000 to 240,000 deaths in the U.S. if we do everything right. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy tells Fox in his state,
we need more ICU nurses. Doctors just think they run the health care delivery system. It's nurses. Number two, we need more ventilators. Number three, we need our unemployment compensation system not to crash.
And with cases going up in Russia,
lawmakers rushing through a bill approving prison terms of up to 5 years for anyone who spreads what the authorities determine is false information. A number of social media users have already been fined hundreds of dollars each for comments they posted online.
That's Fox's Simon Owen in London. America's listening to Fox News.
It is a stressful world out there right now, especially when it comes to figuring out what to eat. That's why Kelly O'Shea's is here to give you the comfort you deserve. Right now, you can order carryout of your favorite piping hot pub food Thursdays and Fridays to keep you warm and happy during your days in. Check out their menu on Kelly O'Shea's Pub's Facebook page to see what's to offer. Not your average pub, not the average way. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
It's going to be a partly sunny day today. High of 56 this afternoon with a southeast wind at 5 to 10. Increasing clouds tonight. Low to 45. Mostly cloudy, breezy, but warmer on Thursday. We'll have southeast winds gusting to 25 in the afternoon and a high of 65. A 40% chance of rain Thursday night. A low down to 52. And then mostly cloudy with rain, 60% likely after 1 p.m. Friday with a high to 62. Right now, the skies remain just plain sunny. It is 40 degrees.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Virus fears sinking stocks out of the gate this morning. The Dow down more than 700 points at the open. President Trump now conceding as many as nearly a quarter million Americans will die of COVID-19. The S&P 500 is coming off its worst first quarter ever. Bright spots, though, were Netflix, Amazon, and drug makers Regeneron and Gilead. Companies cut 27,000 jobs in March before the worst of the coronavirus shutdown hit the East. This is according to payroll company ADP. The spring home buying season tanking already. Mortgage applications to buy a home plunged 24% annually last week. People are staying home because of the pandemic and not shopping for a new one. Many Americans waiting for stimulus checks from the government. One group that will not get them, people delinquent on child support payments. And that number could be in the millions. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
Sponsored by Eagle Publishing.
Warning, if you thought it was safe putting your money into a retirement plan all these years, then think again, because you're about to get sucker punched by the biggest tax to hit Americans' retirement savings in over 100 years. Everything you've worked for and put away for retirement, your 401ks, IRAs, even your pensions. This Congress is coming for it, using a new law that quietly passed in the final days of 2019 and gives the IRS the green light to be able to confiscate 30% or more of your retirement savings. It's all spelled out in plain English in this free new book from the Center for Retirement Security. It's called The New American Retirement Plan. Get your free copy of The New American Retirement Plan and learn how you can still take back your retirement from the prying hands of Uncle Sam. Text the word RETIRE to 48542 and find out how this free new book can literally save your retirement. Text RETIRE to 48542 for your free copy. Text RETIRE to 48542.
And there's a change in the weather.
It's horrible out here.
And you need to know.
I've never seen it like that.
Get fast, accurate weather information.
Your storm warning will remain in effect.
On air and online.
I always know it's going to be there.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. And online at KBUR.com.
Welcome back on the talk show. We're just chatting with Jim Furno during the break. We're talking about how, you know, and I just realized that I was looking at my I do a half an hour show, which I do on Sunday morning. Basically, it takes the best pieces of interviews of the course of a week. Last week was civic music and its effect by the coronavirus. The next one, part two was Krista Pogemiller and Gina Harden talking about specifically the first case in Des Moines County, and also what can be done, and also dealing with what sort of things are the best way to handle dealing with, and how to make it the most, I guess, what comfortable for people. And the final one was what's going on at Southeastern Community College, Dr. Michael Ash, in the face of the coronavirus. It's almost like to say it's a 900-pound gorilla in the room is even an understatement, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah, it certainly is. And think about the impact on city facilities. Almost all of our facilities are closed. I would anticipate that that's the case throughout the month of April, absent some miracle change of direction of what the guidance is. We've talked the latest out of FEMA matches what President Trump had said, 30 days now for trying to delay the spread, following up the 15 days to delay the spread that occurred in March. And we don't know where May is going to take us. But we know where our activities are for this month. You know, closing playground equipment is just a strange thing to have to do, and following through with what's going on statewide and nationwide, really. For
concern I have is one of the, and I know maybe it bothers me, maybe it shouldn't be, but I mean, I drive by the Y, and I know I can't work out there. But I see there's 15 to 20 cars there,
staff,
all for the staff and for the daycare.
It's, yeah,
and it concern. Oh, I guess and daycare's coming. These kids are coming from all over town. I know they're doing some special precautions, and obviously to try and
they
be
certainly
safe,
are. They actually monitor every child and parent each day as the kids dropped off, and if either
right.
the parent or the child has a fever, they're sent home.
But the problem with COVID-19, and you know exactly where I'm going, is that you can have no symptoms and still be a carrier.
Yep, and that's the same with all daycares. I know that we've had an employee whose child was at a daycare where another child came up symptomatic, and now that child care is closed, and they have nowhere for their child to be, you know, so they're at home.
It's a double whammy for a lot of places. Yeah,
but you know, to be able to keep operations moving forward, I mean, outside of having childcare available, I mean, that's one of those things. If and when there's something that changes that dynamic, that's a huge impact on the workforce that's that hasn't been closed down at this point. Because if you have children, how do you make that work? These are all tough things for us to deal with.
Well, it puts things also into perspective. I mean, you notice that I'm not going to touch on Cascade Bridge because it's like all of the things we thought were important, really important, a month or two ago, all of a sudden seem a whole lot less important, and a whole lot of things that we didn't even think of a couple months ago are now very, very important.
Yeah, and that's part of as we look at projects. I mean, when I came here 8 years ago, we had $600,000.
Yeah,
we got down to a low of $50,000 in June in the bank. Right now, general fund is sitting at $3 million, and overall funds for the city are over $20 million. We've gotten rid of a lot of issues and taken care of them. But at the time when we were doing that, in order to make that happen, we had to prioritize projects, and we weren't doing anything that wasn't getting equipment replaced, wasn't doing the basic street type projects, sewer type projects to make things happen. We've had a dynamic over the last few years where we've been able to be more flexible with the types of projects that we do. Still not doing everything that people would like to see done. But our dynamic has just now changed.
Can you do projects? Can you do projects in a COVID-19 situation?
Street projects, yes. We have a sewer plant project that's going on right now. The street project up in the North Hill area is they're getting ready to do asphalt again. For contractors, we're not. That's not an area that you're seeing contractors shut down now. If and when they have problems with work crews,
I'm just wondering,
I've watched some businesses as they've had trouble being able to make. Put together a work crew because of folks who are out sick, but there's nothing about a street project that keeps you just intrinsically from being able to continue to do that type of a capital
I guess
project.
What I was getting at was quote unquote the social distancing, the 6 feet apart. I don't even understand. You can't ride really together in a car, can you?
Of those things,
you kind of have to bend a little bit, I guess.
Well, I mean, we tend to try to keep our crews apart, but you go down and you put up the flood wall. We had to go do that this last week, and we do that with a small crew. But you can't not have an interaction that doesn't hit within 6 foot at some point during that process. So you're going to see some of that happen.
I know, and we have it, and we're considered an essential business because we're quote unquote to inform the public and to pass the news.
You know, like even with our employees, we've broken our crews into component units, trying to keep them from coming across each other, so that if you have something that impacts one part of your crew, it hopefully isn't going to impact the whole crew, but only just that one component. We have asked people to think through the steps besides no shaking hands, how to cough properly, don't touch your face, wash your hands frequently, wipe down your vehicle because you're getting in and out and you're doing things that will carry germs from one surface to another. And so do everything you can to mitigate, but we're still working, and you still need to. There are things in our society that still need to go on, regardless of what that situation
look
is.
Look at grocery stores right now.
That's that still has to go on.
They have to operate, and how do you? Yeah, there's a certain amount of, I guess, you do everything you can to stay safe, but you can't do everything. You can't if you're in essential businesses, you're going to have to cross paths. And be as cautious and careful as you can, but there's a limit to what you can do, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. Without completely going to just stay at home, difficulties
that. What would an order like that do? What would an order like that do to the city?
Well, you still it's would if, it, if you look at Illinois, they have a a stay in place.
Okay,
order.
A quarantine.
Correct. But you still have your essential services that are exempt.
You've got to have police. You've got to have police. You have to have law enforcement. You have to have fire. You have to have fire and ambulance service.
You still have to have transit. You still have to have solid waste. You still have to have your sewer. You still have to have street traffic.
You've got to pick up trash.
So I mean, there are positions that don't come to work, but the majority of what the city is in that essential service category. And you start going through what is included or excluded in a stay-at-place order. You got a significant amount of manufacturing. You got grocery stores. You still have your lumber yards. You have a significant number of folks who still move around, but you do cut it down beyond where we are. But this, I mean, this life is already, it's tragic for what this does to folks to not be able to go about what they're doing. And yet it's tragic what people are coming in contact with COVID. So where's the right balance?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to take another break. We've got Jim Furno with us, 754-1490. You want to jump on board? You can.
If you're looking for complete coverage of local, state, regional, and national high school, college, and professional sports, tune in to Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360 to Dave O'Hara Sports every Monday through Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. If you want to listen to archived episodes or interviews of specific players, coaches, reporters, and broadcasters, or have comments or questions for the show, go to twitter.com @Dave O'Hara Sports or facebook.com/Dave O'Hara Sports.
Is a college education a distant dream you hold for a newborn child staring you in the face? Next to retirement planning, paying for your children's education could be the largest expense that your family will bear. A 529 college savings program is an option to help save for higher education. For more information on this flexible college savings program, contact the financial advisor team at Two Rivers Investment Services. They can help you plan today for tomorrow's college education expenses. Prior to investing in a 529 plan, investors should consider whether the investor's or designated beneficiary's home state offers any state tax or other benefits that are only available for investments in such state's qualified tuition program. Withdrawals used for qualified expenses are federally tax-free. Tax treatment at the state level may vary. Please consult with your tax advisor before investing. Securities and insurance products are not FDIC insured, not bank guaranteed, may lose value, not insured by any federal government agency, and not a bank deposit. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. LPL Financial and Two Rivers Investment Services are independent entities.
An ex-athlete is waiting to be welcomed into a loving home. There's a greater need to place ex-racing greyhounds into permanent homes than at any point in recent history as a result of greyhound racetrack closings across the country. April is National Adopt-a-Greyhound Month and the perfect time to adopt a gentle companion into your home. Thousands of greyhounds are being cared for by adoption groups now. Please help ensure that all these wonderful dogs find homes by visiting thegreyhoundproject.org for information on adoption in your area.
We know you hate this ad. You say it's bad, it makes you sad. But as we assault your ears, we also help to ease your fears. No red wine, your shirt is fine. No ketchup stains, no city grime. Oh, yes, okay, all right, now finally this song will end. But when you stain, Tide's your best friend.
Get stains out of your clothes and out of your head with 10 times the cleaning power of Tide. If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide.
And again, we're talking with Jim Furno. We're talking about the impact, obviously, on the city, the impact in terms of where you are, the impact on revenue. I guess what we've learned, Jim, if I'm summing up where we've talked or what we have talked about, is that property taxes, that's the main source of your revenue. That's still going to be coming in, and you anticipate there may be some, but I would imagine most of that should be pretty close to normal.
Well, we collect about 97%, 98% of what we budget for.
Right.
And if I look back at the 2008, that may go down to 95% type thing. So you still collect a majority of the revenue stream. But what, as we talk about lingering effects.
But all of the funds that are, that all of the funds that are flexible, that are...
All of our flexible funds. So hotel, motel, we get 900,000. That's going to go to 700,000 this year. Next year, come back to 800. I don't know what the number's going to be, but if I look at what we spend out of hotel motel tax, out of the 900,000, a little over 800,000, maybe 850, is specifically allocated to ongoing operations, whether for the chamber or for the recplex or for the golf course or for the general fund. The remainder is projects. Less than 100,000 is projects. So it doesn't take much out of that to completely wipe out the ability of that fund to do anything.
People are spending, or people are using or buying a lot less gasoline.
So road use tax, out of the road use tax formula, 45% comes from gasoline. We're losing, transportation this month is down 50%.
Yeah. Yeah, I can believe
autos,
it. Yeah,
was what I heard from the governor. That equates to probably in a month, that's 100,000 lost. If it's 2 months, that's another 100,000 lost.
People aren't hitting the road at all.
New vehicle sales is another piece that hits funding for road use tax. That's not a good business to be in right now. That's a tough
People, they don't, yeah, people are, they don't need, they're not driving. They're not doing a lot of driving.
Going back to property taxes, what's going to happen with valuations of properties? You can't sell something right now. It's going to, as you have unemployment spikes, people can't afford to buy. You're going to see fewer transitions for a period of time.
They can't afford to, but on the positive side, mortgage rates are at their lowest level in years.
They certainly are. We are trying to get ours refinanced. You have less turnover and it's harder to sell. Those overall, over a period of time, bring down property valuations or limit the growth of property values.
Income,
and that impacts our future years.
And people who don't know or do not know what their income stream is going to be are reluctant to invest in something that they can't predict.
So last year, our the 411 system, the retirement plan for police and fire, hit its investment returns for the last fiscal year through last June 30. It performed at, I think, about 4% rate of return. It's designed to hit 7.5% rate of return. That loss of performance of that 3.5% raised the contribution rate for us by over $50,000 just because we had to now make up a difference.
God knows what it's going to be like for the next one. Yeah.
Think through where we're at stock market rise right now.
I already know.
Since last June, we have seen a deficit. Absent a remarkable rebound on the stock market prior to July 1 is likely to have a $100,000 to $200,000 impact on the general fund for the following year to cover that and limited funding streams in the other areas. So I look at how our dynamics are not as much of a what's in the this moment, but what's in the next year and the year following type of impact.
In other
from
words,
an event
there's
like
a
this.
There is a residual effect that continues to linger and continues to grow.
Correct.
Depending upon what the situation
which
is.
Which makes
and the
it
status
hard
is, yeah.
When you're in the moment of dealing with something. You don't. I mean, I can look at my finances for this month. Our numbers are going to look fine for March. But that's a false thing to be looking at. The impact is down the road. And waiting and being reactive can cause us a lot of problems. And that's but it's hard to get people to look at where the things
look
are going to be as time moves forward.
We've got a lot of retired people in this community and they're looking at, and they're living off of money that they've, their portfolios and investments and that sort of thing. Those have all taken a sharp hit as well. So less funding and greater concerns and plans and things like that. It's affecting across, the ripple effect is affecting across the entire spectrum. That's really what we're at right now. I don't know what...
So for our stuff, we continue to move forward. We're able to do things. And even when you go through the dynamic of we need to get a mindset that says... I don't know how to communicate it. I mean, I can't get people to think through this, but we need to get to a mindset that let's be a little bit more towards do the things that are the basics and pull back on some of the other things for a period of time. But even in that type of a circumstance, we're not in a spot where as an organization where we can't make ends meet. We can continue to move forward, and I do want folks to understand this city's got adequate funds to move forward, but it doesn't mean that we get to move forward the way we have been. We have to make adjustments.
And everybody's making adjustments along with you. So I guess that's the fact is there's no individual entity. Now, there are some places, if you're selling Clorox, if you're selling Purell wipe or sanitizer.
Hopefully at the market price.
And an antibacterial wipe or, you know. If you're selling toilet paper, you know, all of those things, there's some places that obviously that all certainly benefit from a situation like this. But for most people, it is a downturn and downturns that are not evenly distributed. That's correct. Really the key here. And for some people, it's fairly normal. For some people, other people, it's traumatic. It's extremely traumatic right now. And having no knowledge of where you're going to be, you can't project on what you can be or where you will be in the future. So the city has some of that to deal with, but not as much as the individual does, right?
Correct.
Anyway, I guess what you've got a meeting coming up. I guess what's on the agenda for the meeting? I mean, I know there's all of these projects that are going on, these building projects and things like that. Are they still...
Nothing has canceled for building projects as of now. I don't know where things continue, but you know, with Merge buying the former police department building, that's still moving forward. We have a public hearing on that this next week for the actual sale of the building and transferring that property over to them. It's already gone through a couple of public hearings on the TIF, the tax increment financing portion of supporting that project. We've had some agreements moving forward right now with Southeast Iowa Regional Planning Council, an agreement for CDBG, Community Development Block Grant administration for the funding for the TAMA rebuild. And that seems to still be moving forward. We've continued to watch is that the Bilal building? I can't remember the one across from the TAMA or from the fire department. They're moving forward and are looking to be complete with that project towards mid to late summer. So we'll have a parking lot that we need to get in the process of bidding out and getting constructed adjacent to that.
There has been talk, and I know that this is only speculation. There's been talk that one of the major, if there is a major, there's a phase four that, and it has been suggested, it should be an infrastructure. Infrastructure basically boosts to the economy, but I'm not sure how much that affects the state, so much it affects cities.
We don't know. I mean, the last time this happened in 2008, we had a street project I was in Sergeant Bluff at that point. We had a street project that we were able to do with we had one that was 100% federal funding. We had a water treatment plant construction that a third of it was paid for through federal funds that came out of that stimulus. Those are the types of things that we'll see if that goes through. But how many of these projects can you do? How many can our country afford to do?
I don't know. These are questions that what we've learned today is that we have many, many questions. And we have very, very, very few answers. And I guess that's going to be the way it is, at least for a while. Jim, thanks for being with me today.
You're quite welcome. Have a good day.